Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at PO Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to the Voice of Evangelism International Radio Ministries. We are live today. We've got everything set up. We hope we have all the technical difficulties corrected with the new equipment and stuff. And I pray that you're able to hear us well today. And we're going to, of course, as always, minister to you an uncompromising message from the Word of God. This has been a great task, a great feat, but we're getting settled in. Can't find some things, misplace some things, but the most important thing is the ability to minister the Word of God. That holds greater authority than anything else that I could ever imagine, the preaching of the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that in preaching the Word of God, His Word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which will please Him and prosper the thing whereinto that He sends it. Again, this is a live broadcast. It's June the 15th, Monday. And I trust and I pray that all is well with your soul and that the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is truly pervading and permeating your heart in every sense of the word here at this end time hour. Before I go into a scripture text today, however, I want to play a very beautiful song sang by a dear black brother back in 2000 with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Only a Look is the title of the song. But I want you to listen first to the words of his testimony and how that God touched his life to bring him to where he was to this very day.
I just want to give God all the glory and all the praise that he so do for all the wonderful things that he's done in my life. I thank the Lord for taking a young man hooked and bound by crack, separated from his wife and his children and running the streets like a madman. I'm so grateful that God can take someone like that and hold him in the palm of his hands and love him and nurture him and bring him to a place in his life where he could surrender all to him. I love the Lord with all my heart today, and I continue to thank him every day for my wife and my children because God has made my life new. I don't have to do crack anymore. I don't have to run the streets anymore. I got enough beauty in my home that I don't have to seek beauty anywhere else because God is in my home. And God is in my children, and God is in my wife. I thank God for what he's done in my life. You're here today, and you might have somebody that's hooked on a drug or something. Don't stop praying, because God answers prayer. He answers the prayer of a hurting, crying wife, and he brought her husband back. He brought crying children, their father, back. But it was only when I surrendered and I was able to look at him for who he is. It only took one look, and I surrendered all. It took me away from sin.
Yeah.
About the thief on the cross. He turned to Jesus. He saw a king. The other thief did not see a king. But this one thief, he saw a king. Thus he said, "When thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And I believe Jesus kept his word. That man entered into the kingdom of God after his death, burial, and resurrection that day. I want to go to Acts chapter 20. When I awoke from my sleep Wednesday morning, this passage was indelibly burning in my spirit, in my mind. And I could not get these words of Paul the Apostle out of my heart, out of my mind, out of my spirit. It's as though God took a branding iron and branded the indelible words of Paul here in this chapter. And I've preached much from this chapter many times from different portions, but never have I preached what I'm going to preach and speak about today. I believe today's message is profusely timely. It's an on-time message for the body of Christ. Regretfully, many will not hear it because they don't have ears to hear. Their ears are not tuned into true biblical preaching. But their ears are tuned in to heresy, fallacy, mendacities, and not the immutable word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 25. "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I want to use for a thought today, not sparing the flock. Not sparing the flock. Paul the Apostle could be profusely emphatic in that he was pure from the blood of all men because he hath faithfully preached the word of God. And Paul did not shun or shrink back to declare the entire counsel of God to the hearers. For Paul charged Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's exactly where the church is today. The church turns its ear away from the truth. And ministers such as myself, we reprove, we rebuke, we exhort with all long-suffering and sound doctrine. Why? Because Paul said they would not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine must be endured. Simply put, sound doctrine is not always easily digested. It's not palatable. Your palate says that's hard for me to digest, to assimilate. But pure, unadulterated, sound doctrine sometimes can be hard to digest. That's why we're not to be babes, still on the milk. Rather, we're to be saints of the Most High God, able to eat the meat of the Word of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. I've never seen such a time when there's such a profuse corrupting of the Word of the Lord. Every time I turn on the television, I see corruption, men corrupting the Word of our Lord. Paul the Apostle preached every facet of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I have kept back nothing from you. Now think about what he said. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I haven't withheld any revelation, any insight, any vision, anything that God has given me. I've not withheld it. I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. But yet we have our little Joey Osteens who say, God did not call me to preach against sin. Thus he does not declare the entire counsel of God. You have to preach all of the Bible to declare the entire counsel of God. And when I was studying this morning and putting my notes together for this message, I began to think about the things that Paul preached. Paul preached against sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said, let not therefore sin reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. But yield ye yourselves and your members, therefore, to the righteousness of God. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but rather yield your members as instruments unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to whomever you yield yourself to, his servant ye are to whom ye yield or to whom ye obey. So Paul preached against sin. Paul preached redemption. Colossians 1 and 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Paul preached the doctrine of sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Paul preached on holiness. Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Paul preached the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Paul said to that group of Ephesians, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Paul preached about the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Let no man deceive you, therefore, by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He tells the church at Thessalonica, when you see the revelation of the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God, remember that I told you this was the protocol. This was how it would be made manifest and what you would witness. Even Jesus told us we would see the Antichrist. He did. Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Jesus declared we would see the Antichrist, and yet people say, well, the church will be gone. Paul the Apostle preached the second advent, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:28. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Paul was being totally transparent and honest when he said, I have declared unto you the entire counsel of God. I have not withheld anything. I have not shunned to declare unto you all of God's counsel. What does the word counsel here mean in the Greek? It means the volition, the advice, the purpose, and the will of God Almighty. And Paul was telling the witnesses there, you are my witnesses. You are my witnesses. You are my record. You are my recording of the facts of my truthfulness this very day. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He was telling them, your hearing is a record, a recording of the truthfulness of my true preaching of the word of Almighty God. And thus he says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves Jesus in Luke 21:34 said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." Hebrews 2:1. Paul said, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." I'm telling you, every one of us, whether you're a layman, whether you are a council member in your church, whether you are a preacher, Paul said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Examine yourselves. Do an introspection of your personal life, your personal walk, your personal relationship with Jesus, the Lord Christ." Amen. The word heed in the Greek means to pay attention to be cautious, to apply oneself, to beware, or to have regard for. Regretfully, there is no regard anymore for the Word of God, and people do not take heed, therefore, unto themselves. Look at your own life. Look at your own life. How does your life align with the Word of God? Does it align with it? Or is it out of alignment with the Word of God? Paul said, "I am pure from the blood of all men." In other words, I don't have any blood on my hand. And regretfully, there's going to be a plethora of preachers who have innocent blood on their hands because they shunned to preach the entire counsel of God Almighty. They don't want to preach against sin. They don't want to tell you what's right. They don't want to tell you what's wrong. They want us all just to blend in and put aside our differences, and let's just all walk together in harmony. We cannot do that at the expense of the Word of God. We just cannot do that at the expense of the Word of God. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" There's Rick Warren sitting in Congress holding the hand of Elton John, an openly vowed sodomite, trying to raise money for AIDS. But nothing is said about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even Rick Warren made a comment about kissing Elton John, and it would be seen around the whole world. How vulgar, how debased, how demeaned, how degraded, how filthy, how vile can a preacher be to even make that kind of implication? That's because they do not preach the entirety of the counsel of the Word of Almighty God. Paul said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." That is a very profound statement. Who have called or who has made you overseers of the flock of God? In other words, who did the calling in this verse? Who does the calling in ministry? The Holy Ghost. Now, mama may call them and daddy may pay the tuition and send them to college. But did God, through the Holy Ghost, make the calling and make them truly overseers to feed the church of God? God, through Jesus Christ, has left the church in the hands of three entities. Listen to me closely today. God has left the church in the hands of three entities. The first entity is the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one place and one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake with other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. If you don't believe the Holy Ghost is the high sheriff of the church, you're deceived. The Holy Ghost is the high sheriff. Paul understood that because he says, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. When Peter in Acts 2:1 said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, every other Pentecostal feast was a mere type and shadow of what was to come on this day, the day of Pentecost. Thus he said, on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. In other words, it came to full fruition. It became absolutely fruitful. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. When the fullness of time was come, God sent the Holy Ghost. And my Baptist brothers will tell me and argue with me all along the way, I got the Holy Ghost when I got saved. No, you didn't. You got a measure of the Spirit of God, but you didn't get the baptism in the Holy Ghost because Jesus said the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for he had not yet been glorified. How can you get something that's not been yet given? John 7:38-39. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You can't get a gift until the gift has been given. So this is a definite second work of grace, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so Paul is trying to get the church here. That's why it's called Acts of the Apostles. It's a record of how the apostles acted in the early church. There's not a name. There's not a church name like Ephesus or Colossians or Philippians or Ephesians or Galatians. Why? Because this is the Acts of the Apostles. It's the demonstration of what these men did as God ordained them and made them overseers of the church. But you don't hear preachers preach from the book of Acts anymore because they don't think it's pertinent to the hour. How foolish can they be? So God, through Jesus Christ, has left the church in the hands of the Holy Ghost. What's the other entity? The second entity is the immutable Word of God. We have the Bible. We have the Scriptures. We have the Holy Writ. We have the Word of God to tell us what is right, to tell us what is wrong, to tell us how the church is to operate, to tell us how the church is to function, to tell us what we ought to do and how we ought to measure anything that we see, hear, or listen to or do. The Scriptures will correct the error if we abide by the Word of God. But not anymore. We've thrown the Word of God to the wayside. Well, we don't need the Bible today. Someone sent me an email the other day and said that Joy Osteen said if Paul the Apostle was alive today, he would change his ideology on some things. Are you kidding me? How dare anybody say that any apostle, if he were alive today, would change his viewpoint and his perspective because of the secularism of the world? Many of you remember the message that I preached about 2 years ago from the book of Jude, because I'll never forget how that jumped out at me one day profoundly because of its importance. Jude verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." That is so important because there are so many false apostles and so many deceitful workers that have permeated and pervaded the church of the living God. I know I'm old school. I know I'm old fashioned. But I'm telling you the absolute truth. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Satan has his ministers and his emissaries. I won't have time to get to that today, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. So the three entities that God, through Jesus Christ, left the care of the church in, the first was the Holy Ghost, the second was the immutable Word of God, and thirdly was truly God called men who he said, "The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." You see, God has called me to be an overseer of the flock of God. And the way I oversee the flock of God is in preaching the Word of God. That's how Paul oversaw the flock of God, for he said, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Now, buddy, this is some good Bible preaching today, whether you realize it or not. This ain't no cotton candy. This isn't any fluff and stuff. This isn't any P.T. Barnum circus arena. This is pure, unadulterated scriptures from the Word of Almighty God. You're not going to get that everywhere. Because these charlatans, these pretenders who want to be preachers, who want to be overseers, the Holy Ghost has not given them that authority. The Holy Ghost has not put them in that position because Paul made it clear. It is the Holy Ghost. I want you to get this. It is the Holy Ghost that makes men overseers of the flock of God. It's not another man. Do you understand that? It's not a denomination. It's not an organization. It is the Holy Ghost over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. You don't see the flock of God being fed anymore. I know how you feel. I loathe the modern church. You see, that there's a protocol in all that God does. And Paul said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." The flock, the sheep, the ones that Jesus Christ bled and died for. And I want to say this. He said that Jesus Christ, has purchased this church with his own blood. I'll get to that in a minute. This is not mine, it's not yours, it's not the Catholic Church. I know some woman wrote me a letter, said she's the mother church. Yeah, she's the mother of harlots. Yeah, that'll really make her happy when I say the mother of harlots, the mother of whores. It's not the Church of God, it's not the Baptist, it's not the Methodist, it's not the Wesleyan, it's not the Pilgrim Holiness, it's not the Four Square, it's not the Pentecostal Holiness. This is his church. This is his church. And the reason the Holy Ghost has made some men overseers, and all an overseer is a bishop or an elder. Peter spoke profusely of elders in 1 Peter chapter 5. But what is the purpose of the overseer? Their purpose is to feed the flock, the church of God. You see, my job is to feed you. Now, I cannot make you eat. The old cliche is true. You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. So many people today go to church, and all they want is a drink from the fountain of life. And these sorry preachers don't have anything at the table for them. They have no bread. They have no substance. They have no word. They have nothing to edify the people of God with, because they are not overseers, which the Holy Ghost makes. I didn't make myself a preacher. I was called to be a preacher. I did not choose. I ran as hard as I could run from God. And he nearly beat me to death until I came home. I was the prodigal. I was the personification of a prodigal son. And he beat me to a pulp. I never, never regret surrendering my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God, the Holy Ghost, that makes men overseers, that makes men bishops, that makes men elders, not a denomination. I want you to understand that today. It's God's gifting. It's God's calling. It's God's anointing. It's not any man's. It's not any organization. It's not any denomination. It's God's anointing. It's God's Holy Ghost. I want you to watch this. I want to read from John 21, verses 15 through 17. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now there's a whole spectrum there that I want to share with you. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three. How many times did Jesus say to Peter, Lovest thou me? Three times. How many times did Jesus say to Peter, Feed my sheep? Three times. Three times three equals nine. In biblical numerology, nine means divine completeness from the Lord. Three times Peter said, I don't know him. Three times Jesus said, Do you love me? Three times Jesus said, Then feed my sheep. Peter understood the significance of feeding the flock of God. I don't believe men understand how meaningful, how purposeful it must be in feeding the flock of God. I want you to get this here in Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, all of the lambs, all of the sheep that Jesus bled and died for, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And the purpose for making preachers overseers is to feed the church of God. Not the denomination church of God, but the church of the living God, which Jesus purchased with his own blood. We forget as creatures of nature who's in control of everything. I'm certainly not in control of anything, hardly. But I know who is in control. I know who does the calling. I know who does the anointing. I know who does the ordaining. I wouldn't do what I do as a vocation. Say, well, I want to just be a preacher. I want to be an attorney. I want to be an accountant. I want to be a brick mason. I want to be a carpenter. No, 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 no. It's the Holy Ghost. I just feel so constrained in my spirit. When you watch these pretenders, when you watch these charlatans, when you hear, when you see them, ask yourself, has the Holy Ghost made that man an overseer, a bishop, or an elder to me, to watch over me? Is he feeding me the Word of God? And I can tell you, for the most part, few men are feeding the church that's been purchased with his own blood. That speaks volumes about the church. Let me read this again here in Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He told Peter three times, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. One time he said, feed my lamb. You've got to feed my flock, Peter. Do men care about feeding the church of God today? No, they want you to give them money. They don't care about feeding you. They don't care about spreading a banquet table in your presence. When I come to this microphone, I don't come to you with a Mickey Mouse sermonette for Christianettes who are sucking their cigarettes. I come to you with the meat of the Word of God to sustain you, to feed you. We don't know what's going to happen in the coming months. I may not even be on the radio. There could be an EMP. There could be martial law. There could be a financial collapse. There could be some kind of chaos or disaster that smites this nation because of its sin. And I think the adjudication of God is being set up right now, watching the Supreme Court justices over same-sex filthy marriage. God's eye is watching. I loathe these men to no end. Why? Because Paul said, feed the church, which is God's church, through Jesus Christ, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He bought and paid for the church and redemption through his blood. It's just that simple. People try to get theologically, et cetera, expounding, elaborating, extrapolating. It's simple. It's sin and redemption. I answered a man's email today, and he answered me back and said, what a cop-out. Said, I copped out. How shallow can one be? Sin has brought all the damage, the ruin, the rot, decay in this world, and redemption is what gets us out of it. That's all there is to this thing. That's why Paul said if all we had was Christ in this life, we would be all men most miserable. But because of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, because of the resurrection, we preach Jesus Christ because our preaching is not in vain because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. It's simple. Sin, redemption, forgiveness. Oh, let me add the word repentance. Paul said he purchased the church with his own blood. You've heard the cliche, blood, sweat, and tears. Well, that's how the church was bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5 says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's exactly what Paul said, hath purchased with his own blood. Let me quote it again, Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. You are redeemed by the blood that was shed at Calvary. See, there are some very unique characteristics about the blood of Jesus Christ, which the Bible clearly reveals to us when we read the scriptures. This blood was not just any blood. This was the blood of a king. This was not the blood of another ram or a bullock or a goat or a turtle dove. This was the blood of a king. This was royal, holy blood. That's why he was conceived through the Holy Ghost. We have no idea of the importance and the significance of the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary and said, you shall conceive. That which is in you shall be called holy, for he is the Son of God. You see, this blood reconciles us. This is reconciliation blood. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This blood reconciles us back to Jesus, the Lord's Christ. One of the unique aspects of this blood is that this was innocent blood. Matthew 27:3, the Bible says, then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. This was innocent blood. You can't say that. I cannot say that. There is sin. There's an Adamic sin in my blood, in your blood, and when you have children, it's passed on to them. This was earnest blood. I said this was earnest blood. Luke 22:44, and being in an agony, he prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Earnest. In Ephesians 2, Paul talked about the earnest down payment of the Holy Ghost relative to our redemption. That was the earnest money. That was showing the validity, the authenticity of what Jesus Christ did for us, and the Holy Ghost was the down payment, authenticating and assuring that man could have redemption. This was cleansing blood. The only blood that can cleanse from sin. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. This is a cleansing blood. I want every preacher listening to me to understand he purchased this church with his own blood, because no other blood would suffice. No other blood would suffice whatsoever in any capacity, any shape, any form, any fashion. No other blood would suffice God's demand and propitiation for sins. All of the millions of gallons of animal blood that was shed. And by the way, the blood of Jesus Christ was not spilled. I hear songs talking about the spilling of Jesus' blood. When you spill something, that's an accident. My wife and I have had 4 children. You go to a restaurant, you got 4 children there, they're going to spill drinks, they're going to spill water, they're going to spill this, they're going to spill that. Those are accidents. When you spill something, it's an accident. Jesus' blood was shed. There was purpose. There was intent. There was injury. There was harm, marring, mutilating of his body. His blood was shed, not spilled. That's why it's cleansing blood. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. He purchased this at Calvary. And last but not least, the blood of Jesus Christ is overcoming blood. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and through the word of their testimony, we overcome through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's overcoming blood. Triumphant blood. That's why when you get into a spiritual encounter with Satan and his minions and cohorts, you plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You plead the blood of the Lamb. That's the authority is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. You couldn't even be saved if it wasn't for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and he purchased the church with his own blood. You don't hear people sing old hymns about the blood anymore. When's the last time you heard a preacher preach on the blood of the Lamb? Come on now. When's the last time you heard the old gospel hymn, there's power, wondrous working power in the blood of the Lamb? Power to redeem, power to forgive, power to cleanse, power to reconcile, power to do whatever needs to be done. Where and when do you hear messages on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't hear that anymore. We do not hear the preaching of the blood of Jesus Christ anymore whatsoever at all, hardly. And it's being removed from the new versions, the new scriptures, the new versions of the Bible, the new songs. They all dispel, they all take away the blood of Jesus Christ. What a tragedy. What an absolute tragedy that they take away the blood. Men do not understand. Men do not understand the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. All they talk about is how you can have a better life, how you can be rich, how you can have this, how you can have that. They just don't talk about the blood of Jesus anymore. You know why? Because Satan knows that redemption, reconciliation, the cleansing, the overcoming power is in the blood of the Lamb, which he purchased with his own blood. I want you to understand the profoundness of the blood of Jesus Christ. I just witnessed my CD recording. Disc error, shot the disc out at me as I begin to expound on the word of the blood of the Lamb. I hope and pray I got the most of the message on CD for those of you who get the CDs. Satan loathes, he despises, he detests the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ, because there is wondrous working power in the blood of the Lamb. I don't have time, I'll pick this back up tomorrow, but here's the problem. Paul said, for I know this. Now that's the Holy Ghost helping the man of God to discern what's going to follow his departure. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. My God in heaven, for I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I witness it, you witness it, you see it, you hear it every day of your lives. After Paul said, I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves shall enter in. And you know what he said? They will not spare the flock. What a truthful. What a truthfulness that Paul said. They would not spare the flock. And let me say this in closing today. These charlatans, these pretenders do not spare the flock of God whatsoever. None. They don't spare the flock of God in any capacity. None. Why? Why do they not spare? And we'll talk about that tomorrow, the sparing, the plundering, the pillaging. Because they are grievous. They are grievous wolves. That's why. That's why. I'll talk about that tomorrow. May the Lord God of Abraham watch over you. May you discern the hour. May you walk in the Holy Ghost. May you seek out Holy Ghost purity in your life and in your hearing. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.